But I'm excited today because we are going into the Christian home. We're going to be talking about the Christian home. We're going to be kind of unfolding what God expects us, because I think the Christian home has taken a bigger hit than anything else in our country. It's the Christian home, or just the family, period, the home as a whole. And then when that gets attacked and it crumbles, then all of a sudden morality starts crumbling, because who's going to teach the next generation what God wants if there's no stable unit being the family? Who's going to teach the children how they should live and be and act according to God's Word? And so when we look at this part of Colossians, and I love the book of Colossians, man, it is just packed full of meat and nutrients and just vitamins and everything we need to be healthy and to grow strong. So as we look at this, we're looking at the Christian home. We're in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Do we have any first-time visitors here? Awesome. Give them a hand for being here. If there's anybody here that needs a Bible, you don't have one, but you need one, maybe you forgot it or whatever it is, we have one for you. Just raise your hand. We'll make sure you get it. Okay. We're going to be talking about, in Colossians, we're going to be talking about the Christian home. And the first thing that comes up is, it talks about is our domestic life. What is it supposed to be like? So I want everyone to turn to Colossians and just go ahead and get ready with that. I'll tell you, as a whole, I'm just going to brag a little bit on our men yesterday. They, man, they represented Christ solid. I was proud of them for the effort they put into it, but man, they represented Christ really well. So I just want you to know that we took some men went from our church, and man, they represented Jesus, and it was fantastic. It was awesome. Okay, now that you are in Colossians chapter 3, we're going to be reading 18 through 21. So if I can get everyone to stand. So I wait until you get comfortable, and then I ask you to stand. And then I wait until you get... No, this is the last time you stand until we leave. Okay. 18. And I know this is the women's favorite verse of the Bible. And so I figured, since it's your favorite verse, we would go ahead and start out with this verse. Okay. Verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we go through your word, Lord, and I know, Lord, I know that this can be a touchy subject. Lord, I know that there's going to be some prideful hearts in this room, Lord, that don't want to relinquish authority that's not rightfully theirs. And Lord, I know that there's going to be pride in the hearts of those, Lord, who don't want to treat others the way that your word says to. And so, Lord, I ask right now that you would just start working in the hearts of each and every one of us, Lord. And that as we see your word, Lord, that we would look at ourselves, Lord. We would look at ourselves. If we are the wife, Lord, we would look at how we're treating our spouse. If we are the husband, we would look at how we're treating our husbands. If we are the child, we would look at how we are treating our parents. And if we're the parent, Lord, we would look at how we're treating our child according to your word, Lord, not our heart's desire, but your heart's desire, and not compare ourselves to our neighbor, but Lord, that we compare ourselves to you. And so, Lord, as we unfold this, I just ask, Lord, that you would help us to see the truth of exactly where we are at. And then, Lord, give us the courage to change it when we have opportunity. Lord, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. It is so funny when we hit this part of Scripture, the women swell up. You see it immediately. So you say, now you need to obey your husband or submit to your husband. All of a sudden you see the wife go. And then they get the Louisa roll. What are you talking about? You want me to submit? Not now. Louisa submits, but that's that. She just gets that. She gets that Puerto Rican Italian neck roll. What? And that's how women act. They'll but not all. So don't. But if the shoe fits, tie it. Okay. But not all women act that way. But there are some women who, when you say you have to submit to your wife or your, okay, I didn't get much sleep. Although the men told me I snored, and I here's the okay. I got to share this part. We're going to get through this message, but I got to share it. We get there, and through past experience, because this is our fourth year at the men's retreat, I said, all right, who snores? There were six of us. Each cabin holds three. Who snores? And so the three admitted to snoring, and I thought, praise Jesus, you three take that cabin, the rest of us, we're going to take this, it's beautiful, it's three and three, so we have the silent ones, and we have the rumblers, and it was a great divide. Well, apparently I was more tired, because see, I don't snore, unless, and my wife will admit to this, it's been, you know, we've been together 23 years, and she'll admit to it that I really don't snore unless I'm really tired. So apparently, I was really tired. And but bless you guys for not throwing anything at me and trying to hurt me. But here's the other thing, too, that kept me awake. So how can you snore if you're awake? Apparently, I didn't snore because I didn't hear it. Josh's bed was above me, and it was a rubber mat. Apparently, because the camp is for kids, and so being a rubber, you know, you got runoff. And if need be, some of you get it. And so, and it's a metal spring, and so every time Josh would move, you hear this. I mean, just rubber, and it's squeaking so loud. I don't think I slept, so I couldn't have snored. Anyway, it was good. Okay, so what it says here in verse 18, because what we have, it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Now, some husbands, I'm just going to tell you right now, before we really roll into this, some husbands abuse this verse. They flat out abuse it. Didn't you hear the pastor today? Come here. You need to submit. Isn't that what he said? I'm the man. That's not what I said. I did say submit, but that doesn't mean that the man can become this monster and dominate over his wife. That doesn't mean that the man can mistreat his wife or abuse his wife. It doesn't mean that the wife becomes the man's servant and slave. Doesn't mean that. And we're going to get, see, I get so excited about preaching about you that I want to just bypass my notes. You guys missed that one. Okay. And so what happens is, when we look at this, you guys will get a clear understanding of what submit means for the woman. Okay, an absolute clear understanding. And you'll see it's not a dominating, I'm the man. You will see what it is. And wives, you will see that I'm not asking you to be your husband's slave. What I'm asking you to do is submit unto your husband as the Lord says. And I'll give you the definition for that. See, we're not a male chauvinist church here. We just follow God's word. And some say, especially the women's live movement, will say, man, Paul was a chauvinist pig here. Man, what right does he got to tell us to submit? I am woman, hear me roar. I'm not submitting. And that's not what Paul's saying. What Paul is saying is, listen, if you want unity in the house, you got to do it God's way. If you want the peace and the love in the house, you got to do it God's way. And we have this beautiful phrase. I don't know who came up with it, but this is what it is. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. but if mama is ungodly in her unhappiness, God's not happy. You see, what happens is we have relinquished, and everybody's done this, we have relinquished power and control to the woman. And I'm not a chauvinist. Please don't look at me like, I ain't coming back to this church. That's not what it's about. I want you to see what God sees and the way God sees it and what He's talking about. And when we relinquish power over to the woman, it's contrary to what God expects. The man is supposed to lead the house. And so then we have problems. Oh, wait a minute. There's no problems in the American home today, is there? No. But in here, we're going to go one step farther than what's happened. And I'll get to the message in a minute. One step farther than what's happened is, not only did everybody relinquish power over to the woman, but then mom and dad somehow, somewhere, some way, I don't even know, I can't even explain it, relinquished their parental authority over to the child. And so now the child runs the home. If the child's not happy, nobody's happy. We are at the child's, what do you want, son? What do you want, daughter? Okay, let's do it. Well, we got to go in debt if we're going to do that. Well, but that's what they want. Let's go in debt. Okay, honey, you can have it. And it's gotten crazy. The American household is so far out of whack as a whole, not everyone, because mine's perfect. It's so far out of whack that we have, okay, for you new, I didn't mean that. Mine's really not perfect. But we're so far out of whack that we have killed our nation because of it. I mean, our nation's ready to tank because families wouldn't take a moral stand. All of a sudden, homosexuality, it's a way of life. It's okay for somebody to practice that. It's acceptable. But it's not in God's Word. And you know what? No more is that acceptable than adultery. But all of a sudden we go, oh yeah, but you should meet his wife. Woo! If I had his wife, I'd been out there too. It's acceptable, but that's not acceptable. Not to God. Adultery is no more acceptable than what homosexuality is. But our society says, it's okay, because you know why? It's all about you. You have earned the right to be happy. No. You haven't earned the right. Forgive me. You deserve to be happy. At what cost? Whatever it is. It's your life. It doesn't affect anybody else. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Say, just for the fun of it, I come up here and I bring a gun up and I shoot myself in the leg. Now, nobody else is going to feel the pain. But did it affect every one of you? Absolutely. And some more than others, because somebody's got to call the ambulance. Somebody's got to help get me out of here. Somebody's going to be taking the time to call me an idiot. This is all going to unfold, and some of the kids are going to be traumatic. Like, what just happened, man? I can't believe he did that. Not only that, but way before I ever shoot myself in the leg, if I were to pull a gun out, everybody wouldn't know what's going on. They'd all freak out. All of a sudden, I impacted everybody. My life is not my own. No more is it my own to do anything like that than what it is the mom and the dads to have their separate lives in the home. And that's what's happened today. Mom and dad have separate lives in the home. Dad wants this. Mom wants this. We can't come to an agreement, so we're either going to do one of two things. We're either going to fight like cats and dogs and drive everybody crazy, or we're just going to turn around and go, see ya. Have your own life. It's going to be one of the two. And then we think it's acceptable. Even Christians today go, well, Pastor, you just don't understand what they're living with. Are they a Christian? Yeah, but that doesn't make a difference. It should. Here's the problem. We've become a nation that loves ourselves more than we love God. And what are we going to take care of? What we love the most. What are we going to respond to? What we desire the most. And if you don't desire God more than desire your pleasures, there you have it. You got a wreck. It's just a matter of time. Okay. Now we'll get into the message. Number one, in our domestic life, the home is the basic building block of society. As the home goes, so goes the nation. Guys, you can't avoid it. Can we have some air on? No, the fan is. Oh, hand them out. Don't look at me. Hand them out. Tim, thank you. Okay, once you get your hand out, you can start filling it out. I'm wondering what everybody's talking about. I hear all these whisperings going on, so I'm looking up there. I'm going, okay. And then I see this man's going like this, like whoop-de-doo. So I thought he wanted air. It's not air. Here, we just want handouts. It's all right. Listen, we don't... when we see the pink elephant in the room, we acknowledge it. We don't have a problem with it. Okay. So we're looking at our domestic life. The home is a basic building block of society. As the home goes, so goes the nation. And of course, listen, I'm going to tell you, and you know this, and you can see this, the family's under attack. Marriages. Forget the family as a whole being the husband, wife, and the children. Let's just look at marriages. Man, marriages are under attack. It is amazing to me how many marriages are ending up splitting. I'm talking marriages after 25 years. All of a sudden, we have irreconcilable differences. It took you 25 years to figure that out. Why didn't you figure that out the first year? You know what I'm saying? And then we've given permission, or states have given permission for a no-fault divorce. No fault. Is it just me? Or is that kind of an oxymoron? It's got to be somebody's fault if you're divorcing. Somebody's done something somewhere and it didn't settle well with the other. It's somebody's fault. But just like that, and here's what happens, guys. It's so subtle. It's so subtle into the mind that you don't even catch it. It's kind of like saying something is prehistoric. Well, that's an oxymoron in itself. Listen, how can it be before history? Did you get it? But because the media puts it out there and the books put it out there and they say, hey, it's prehistoric. We go, okay, it's prehistoric. You guys are seeing the silliness in it. Because all of a sudden, if you look at the definition of prehistoric, the word shouldn't even exist. Because nothing is before history, because everything's history. And we go, it's prehistoric. Then we look at this law, which started in California in 1969. Hey, we want a no-fault divorce because we don't want anybody to pay for their mistakes. And so, okay, no-fault divorce. It's nobody's fault. Oh, how sweet that is. Okay, so I can go get a divorce, and we go get a divorce, and then I ask, hey, why'd you get a divorce? What was the reason? Oh, it was a no-fault divorce. Yes. Do you see how the silliness settles into the mind and we accept it like it's real? And like it's okay? And it's little things like that that have been tearing down. Because why? We make it so easy. Because before, if it was somebody else's fault to get a divorce, they wouldn't get a divorce. Why? Because they didn't want to pay for it all. So there, all of a sudden there was reason to work it out, reason to stay together, reason to say, okay, honey, what went wrong? But if it's no-fault divorce, nobody's at fault, $300, here you go, $300, I'm out of that headache, let me go into this headache. But we don't realize that we take away, whatever we take that's not fixed in this relationship, we will carry to the next relationship. You'll carry it. Why? Because you didn't fix it, and it's your behavior, and it's natural, and it's normal. And so you carry it over. Man, our homes are under attack, and Satan is so deceived the multitude. And in that multitude has been the Christian. Real Christians. And you know why they're real Christians? I mean, I'm talking real Christians, real Christ followers who have received Christ as your Savior. Satan has gotten to them too because they don't build a relationship with God. Therefore, they have a misunderstanding of who God is and what God wants. And they think that because it's legal, it's okay. Let me tell you, just because it's legal doesn't make it godly. And yet we've fallen under that attack of Satan. Our permissive society allows every form of pornography to be published and every form of perversion to be practiced. Look at the commercials today. Look at it. Go walk through the mall. I get so angry when I go through the mall. And sometimes I just take my phone out and as I'm walking, I just play a game. I don't even look up. Do you know why? I'm tired of looking at the soft porn of these clothing stores. Have women half naked. Have these. I mean, and I'm talking, you can't get any lower than the clothing they're putting on without revealing. And nobody's fazed by that anymore. That's pornography. And our young ladies and our young men, they find it appealing. and they hear their classmates talking about how appealing it is, and all of a sudden they want to be part of the crowd, so they get in there, and man, it's destroying our society. And the perversions that are happening are being accepted. It's destroying our society. Oh, and Lord forbid, if you want to stay pure and be a virgin until you're married, you're scorned. You're scorned for it. Wow. Scorned for being wanting to be pure. Guys, our domestic life is so messed up. All right, let's look at it. Our role as partners. Our role as partners. Now, it's funny because as I started going through this, and by the way, the roles have been switched in society. For the majority, the women run the house, and the husband doesn't. And what happens is the wife, and guys, listen, this is an attack on anyone. And if it's not in your house, then say, okay, it's not in your house. And if it doesn't relate to you, just be courteous and listen. How's that? I'm just telling you what's going on in the majority of the United States. Literally, the majority. The wife has dominated the home. The wife uses sex as a tool to get to manipulate the husband. And of course, the husband wants it because he's man and God made him that way. And so he'll submit because, you know what? That's worth more than the argument. And so he's willing to trade off, is what happens. And so the woman becomes dominant in that fashion because she has the ultimate tool. Okay, some didn't appreciate it, but you know it's true. You know, I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest. And so the man becomes, okay, honey, you know what? The fight isn't worth it. The other is, so what do you want? And it becomes a tool. And it divides the home. So then the children grow up seeing what the parents do, and they follow suit. They look for a mate, or they become exactly what their parent is. And by the way, the boy looks for what he sees in mom, and the girl looks for a mate that what she sees in dad. And so if you have a household that's out of balance, and dad is mistreating mom, guess what type of man your daughter is going to marry? Same kind of man you are. And guess what kind of problems they're going to have in their household? Same kind of problems you got. See how it works? And it's true. Look at statistics. You don't even have to believe me just because I'm a pastor in the pulpit claiming to be honest. You can look at it. Look at the statistics. And then the man's going to marry what mom is. He's going to marry the type of woman that mom is. And mom, if you're not submissive to the husband, and you have destructive personality just like your husband has or whatever, guess what your child's going to have when they get married? Same kind of home. It is what it is. And so what we have to do, if we want to make sure our children are stable and our nation becomes stable, then we got to become stable parents and show them what's right. Because they don't listen to what you say, they listen to what you do. They hear your actions way louder than your words. And so what we got to do is get the roles back to what it should be. God's order in the home. God's order in the home. 3:18. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Now we look at this word submit, and immediately it becomes a negative. And it only becomes a negative because the Women's Live movement made it a negative. But I want you to see that when God says don't do this, it's not a negative. He's protecting you. When God says do this, and we go, oh, but it's going to, you know, God says tithe. Well, you don't understand. It takes my money, God. And we take it as a negative. God says, no, you don't understand. I want to bless you. When you give up your money, I know I got your heart, and then I'm going to give it back to you, but you got to trust me. See, he tells us to do things for our own good, for our own benefit. And so, wives, when he says, submit to your husbands, it is fall in line of authority, not become a slave. It is to become authority. You know, when you go to work and you have a male boss, ladies, or even me, I mean, it doesn't matter if I go to work and I got a female boss or I have a male boss, it's really immaterial, because here's what happens. When they say, do this, then we are under their authority. And let me tell you something. I've worked for people before when they said, do this, and in my mind I went, are you kidding me? That is suicide to your business. Why would you make such a foolish move? Why would you? That is crazy. Okay, you're the boss. And then I do it. I didn't have to agree with it. See, and in my household, let me tell you what happens. My wife is an awesome lady. I'm going to tell you, my wife, God, you talk about being blessed. God may have cursed her with me, but God sure blessed me with her. And here's what happens with my wife. There's times, and you guys know me, those that know me, I'm passionate. And I'm an intense guy. I have always been. I've tried to not be. I've tried to change. I tried to become a pansy, and it just doesn't work for me. Can't make it happen. I tried not to be intense. I try not to be offensive. But man, right is right and wrong is wrong. And if you're doing wrong and you're doing it, obviously I'm assuming you don't know any better. So I want to remind you. It's a fault. I got it. But I make decisions sometimes and my wife goes, I don't agree with that. Not in front of my children. This is her and I's conversation separate from my children. They don't need to know my wife and I's business. Because they need to submit down here. My wife needs to submit here. I need to submit here because God's here. Do you see how it's working? And so, privately, my wife has the authority, because we are one, to come up to me and share her heart. And let me tell you, she's little and she's meek and quiet, but my wife can share her heart. That redhead, I mean the red hair, she's Irish. I'm just saying. And my wife will come to me and she'll say, babe, yeah, after 25 years of being together, we've been married 23, we've been together 25. 22 and 25, that's what it is. Don't tell her I messed it up. And she still calls me babe, and she'll come up and she'll say, babe, I don't agree. And because I've already settled it in my mind, I don't know what she's talking about. You don't agree with what, honey? And then she tells me, okay, why don't you agree? What did I miss? And she'll share with me what she feels. And if there's validity in it, not that there wouldn't be, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if there's enough there where I go, I overlooked that, I'll tell her, you know what, babe, you're right. And I'll reverse my decision. And I'll go to, if it involves my children, I'll go to my children and I'll tell them, girls, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? That's huge. How many dads are willing to, not that I'm a great dad, although I feel like I am. I'm just kidding. I try to be. I really try to be. I mean, I want my girls to know I love them, and I want them to know their house is stable and that their daddy's a rock. And when they come home to their, when they get home, they know that they have, when they entered into the front door, they can go, this is my resting place. This is where I can be me, and I'm safe, and I'm protected, and my dad loves me, and my mom loves me, and I don't have to put up with the chaos that goes on in the world. Man, they need to know when they come home, their daddy's the rock. And their mom's right there. They need to know that. And so guys, if your home isn't that, you need to fix it, because it needs to be. But my wife will tell me something and I'll go, okay, you know what? I didn't think about it. And I'll go and I'll apologize to them. I'm sorry. And then there's times where my wife will go, I don't agree with what you did, but I am so confident of what I've done is definitely for the right and the better, that I'll tell my wife, with all due respect, babe, it doesn't matter. My decision is final and I'm not going to change it. And then as time goes on, usually God has given me the wisdom that as time goes on, it pans out that I made the right decision. But that only happens because I'm seeking God's face on a daily basis and so on and so forth. So I don't say that arrogantly. And then there have been times where I've been wrong and go to honey and I go, you were right. You know, I mean, it goes both ways, but the beautiful part about it is even when my wife knows in her heart that I made a wrong decision and she'll share with me, she still goes, even when I say no and we're not changing, she goes, okay. She submits to my authority because I'm the head of the household. And we're going to see that. Listen, my pastor used to say, and I'm shortening this up for sake of time, My pastor used to say, anything with two heads is a monster and anything with no head is dead. See, God ordained one head to be head of the household under him. And then from him, it's the wife. And then from the wife, it's the children. And then from the children, it is usually the goldfish, the hamster, the rat, the rabbit. And then the cat is like somewhere in the pool down there. Actually, it's dog and then everything else underneath. And so what happens, though, is somebody has to lead the household. And God says, I know that somebody has to lead the household, and I'm going to establish the man. Not because the woman is less, because I'm establishing the man. And some of you women are going, I still don't like it. But let me say this. God has ordained the man to be the head of his home. But if he abdicates that or neglects that duty, he does so at the risk of sacrificing his wife, his children, his marriage, his home. So the husband has to be on his game too. There's a lot of responsibility there for him to do what is right, or else his home can fall apart. And so let me tell you something. With man being head of the household, it's part of God's design since the fall. He said, okay, you know what? This has got to be made this way because of the fall. Now I'm not blaming Eve for the cause of the fall, although technically it was there. But I'm not doing that. I want you to see, though, in Ephesians 5:25 that this is God's plan for man to be over woman. And I'm going to show you with Scripture so that you don't get mad at me and want to set up a hitman for me when I get out of here one day. Ephesians 5:22 through 24 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. See, wives want to surrender some things, but not all things. But God says you got to surrender everything. You have to surrender everything. But there's a way to do it. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. How would I submit to the Lord? See, he stipulates how he wants the wife to submit. And what that is just a full surrender of your position. That's what it means. To acknowledge that your husband is a higher rank of in position, but not in person. Because God loves the husband and wife, and he says they're one. But just like God the Father and the Holy Spirit are separated in position, so is the husband and the wife. And the husband is first and the wife is second. Not of importance, of position. Do not misunderstand that. But then in 1 Corinthians 11:3, he says this. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. You see how it's laid out? Guys, listen, I'm not telling you, ladies, I'm not telling you to submit to your husbands because it's my idea. I'm not telling you to submit to your husbands because he's the man and he has more authority over you and so therefore he's going to dominate your life. I'm not telling you to do that. I am telling you to do it because God says to do it, and you are to do it how? As you would submit to the Lord. In everything. This isn't my idea, ladies. This is God's idea. And then look here as we go on. 1 Corinthians 11:8 through 9. Why is the woman to submit to the man? For the man is not from woman, but woman is from the man. Nor was man created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. See, God is establishing this, and He's saying, listen, this is the way it's positioned. This is the way it's set. This is where it falls in line of authority. Ladies, this isn't personal. God set the house up to be run like I'm telling you to run it. Not because I'm telling you to run it, because God said to do it that way. And when you do it God's way, blessings flow. When you do it your way, divorce comes. Or if you're one of the fortunate ones that can withstand 30 years of abuse from each other, you stay together for the kids. And so then the kids suffer. Anything contrary to the way God says to do it, guys, there's going to be struggles and problems. And we have to see that. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you. God is telling you. Let me tell you the direct result of the fall. So let's just go all the way back to the fall, where Eve couldn't resist eating of the fruit. And so we always want to blame her, because technically she took the first bite. If she wouldn't have taken the first bite, then Adam may not have followed. But if Adam would have been the man leading his house, he wouldn't have let her take the first bite. He would have said, honey, and then if she fought about it, he would have said, well, then you go ahead and die, but I'm going to live because I have a whole generation waiting on me. Wait a minute, without her, we couldn't be here. Okay, so at any rate, if some say, listen, Adam ate of the fruit after Eve, because they throw in this Romeo effect, you know. Oh, he didn't want her to die without him, and he loved her so much. I think he sacrificed her. I think, you know, God said, if you eat of that fruit, you're going to die, and Adam wanted to see if God was right. I think that's all it was. You can throw him out there to be Romeo if you want, but I think he was a pig then. He was like, honey, go ahead, I'll wait and see. Whoa, she's not dying. Wow, God was lying. Satan, you're telling the truth, you old sly devil, you. Give me some of that fruit. You guys missed that one too. Okay, Genesis 3:16 says this. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. This is after she ate of the fruit because she fell for Satan's deceit. He says, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, ladies, I know for some of you, you're choking on that. I mean, every time you go to swallow, there's something that fights, and you've got to come back up. I understand that, but understand this. If you want peace in your household, you got to do it God's way. Anything less than that isn't going to work. It just isn't going to work. And you know what? The sensible man, he'll listen to his wife, he'll respect her views, and he'll consider her best interest when making decisions regarding the home. He'll do that. Why? Because he's to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And so he'll never make a decision or do something that doesn't benefit everybody as a whole for the sake of God. Phillips says this. He uses W.E. Vine. He says, W.E. Vine tells us that the word for submit primarily is a military term meaning to rank under. Hanley Moles prefers the rendering to be loyal as best conveying the idea of submission in his husband-wife context. The wife is to acknowledge her husband's God-ordained role of leadership, but she is certainly not to be his slave. Do you guys see where God's talking about? Do you understand this? And by the way, ladies, before I move on to the husbands, which is next, ladies, listen to me. Your husband has needs. And those needs only you can fulfill. And if you're not fulfilling those needs of your husband, then what you're really doing is pushing your husband out the door. And then you want him to be godly, you want him to do right, you want him to act right, you want him to say right, you want him to treat you right, you want him to do all this. But if you're removing a key element that God has designed for every man to desire, if you remove that, he becomes unstable. He'll be able to withstand for a while, but you're setting him up for a fall. Or you're setting him up to be ungodly at the very least. Because his mind is not going to be godly. The Bible says that you don't just commit adultery with a physical act with another human being. It says that you commit adultery in your heart. First. Ladies, if you're not taking care of your husbands, you are setting him up to crash and burn. Whether it's a physically going out, or if it's looking at inappropriate things and satisfying himself that way. You have to be very, very careful. A lot of responsibility for the ladies as well. Men, you have the responsibility that God holds you accountable for your family. He holds you accountable for your children, for your wife, for your household, for your finances, all the decisions you make, whether it be poor or good. Guess what? The husband, God looks at and says, this was your responsibility, this was your household, this was your duty, and if it's not right, it's your fault. And then we want to do what Adam does. By the way, husbands, I'm going to get to you, and it may be next week, but I'm not going to leave you out. And we want to go, but God, you don't understand, it's the woman you gave me. Where did we get that line from? Adam? Yeah, Adam was, he was that way, wasn't he? God said, what happened? Adam said, it's your fault. It's the woman you gave me. If you gave me a better woman, it wouldn't have happened. And God, I'm sure, was saying, if you'd have just been godly, it wouldn't have happened. Can't put the blame anywhere. We have to take it for ourselves. So God holds the man responsible. But ladies, if you're not taking care of him the way God says to take care of him, you're bringing destruction into your home. You are. I mean, there's no other way to say it. But husbands, I'm looking at the clock, and I know there's no way I can preach about the husbands. But you know, really, when I was looking at all the commentaries and opening it up, I can preach about the husbands. And I open it up on the computer, and I have three commentaries that I really like, but I use about seven or eight. And in every one of them, because I wanted to be so fair to the ladies and not think, I didn't want the ladies to think I was beating them up. But every time I'd open it up on wives, submit to your husbands, it was like 18 pages this long of what the wives were supposed to do. And I get to the husband and says, husbands, love your wives. And there was like a paragraph. And I said, man, this seems so unfair. But you know, it's really not. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to preach on the husbands. If I'm 5 minutes over, extend me grace, please. God's orders to the husband. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives. Do not be bitter toward them. Love your wives. Do not be bitter toward them. It's amazing that he tells the ladies to submit to the husbands, but then he tells the husbands to love his wife and do not be bitter toward them. I found that very intriguing, very interesting, that God would say that. He's to love his wife. See, the reason is that God instructs for the wife, he addresses her will, because women have a strong will, and they don't want to let go. Men do too, but for the most, women have the strong will that God has put in them. Because I see women do things where you just go, wow. And men will go, it ain't worth the fight. And so the will in there, we see the difference. And so God addresses the wife's will, and he gives instruction to address the man's heart. Because women are already designed and made and built. It is within them, it is put in them to automatically love. Women will respond with love because it's what they are. Men, on the other hand, are goal-oriented. Men, they see things, and here's what they want. We use a different word for love if you really want to be technical about it. Men want this, and this is the way they see love. As respect. That's how men see it. Men's definition of love is respect. Women's definition of love is a list. What I mean by that being funny is men respond by sight, women respond by action. Men are instant, women are like a fine iron that's got to be heated up slowly. I mean, there's a huge difference between the two. And so women respond when the husband comes along and he says, "Honey, I love you, how can I help you? Honey, I love you, this is why I did this for you." And so when the woman sees it, it doesn't require money, men. Don't misunderstand me. You don't have to go broke pleasing your wives. You got to be selfless to please your wives. You got to do for the wife. You got to think of her. "Honey, listen, you know what? You were out all day, and I know normally the housework is yours and the yard work is mine, but you were out all day, and I know that it's been a rough week for you." And so when she comes in the door and she sees the house clean, you go, "Honey, I just want to run the sweeper and take care of the dishes and just kind of clean up for you because I love you and I want you to see it." You better hold on because your night is good. Because that's how the women respond. Ladies, am I wrong? And these ladies are going, "Preach it, preach it, preach it, Pastor, preach it." The men were saying, "Preach it to you too." No, they just were quiet. They didn't want to fight when they get home. Okay, so what happens is, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How intense is that love? Christ died for us. He died for the church. You need to love your wife so compassionately and passionately and unconditionally that you're willing to die for your wife. And you say, "But you don't know what kind of woman I live with. Ethel, boy, she's just nasty. She spits nails. You think it's tobacco juice, but it's nails. You don't know about, you don't know her, Ethel. Ethel's tough. How can you love that woman?" Well, obviously you did for a while. What happened? And I'm going to tell you what happens to the marriages that fall apart, and the woman's not taking care of the man the way she's supposed to, as I spoke with earlier, and the husband's not loving the wife unconditionally, as I was just speaking of. Because here's what happens. The husband and wife get their own agenda. And instead of being selfless that brings them together, they become selfish that tears them apart. "Well, honey, you're not doing this for me. I'm not going to do that for you. You can't satisfy me here. I'm not satisfying you there. You can't take care of this, I can't take care of that. Oh, we'll go tit for tat. I don't care, whatever you want to do." And it becomes a vicious dogfight. Now, wait a minute. If we're one, aren't all responsibilities ours to make sure that it's done and taken care of? You know, one of the biggest things, and it has nothing to do with marriage, but I'm just going to tell you how impactful it is. One of the biggest things that changed the way people seen me at work and received me, because I'm a pastor, and of course, for those of you who don't know, I have a secular job. And when I went there, you know what I do? I would clean up the other man's bay. I'd sweep the floor, squeegee it, man, it'd be clean. I'd take his tools and I'd take a rag when I wasn't doing anything or waiting for parts. I'd go over there and as he's real busy and his tools would be greasy, I'd take a rag and I'd clean him up. I'd wipe the grease off of him, put him back on his cart, man. It'd be nice and neat. And not as, I said, "Dude, I know what it is to have a tough cart. I had a few minutes, so I thought I'd just clean yours up so you could find your stuff." I'd clean the floor, squeegee it, man. I'd empty their trash bins. We all have our own, but I'd empty theirs. And all of a sudden, they started seeing me in a different light. And I was received well. Well, guys, I'm going to tell you, the marriage is the same way. Only more so because this is your flesh. This is what you should be doing for each other, making sure each other's happy, not making sure that yourself is happy. Listen, the word used here in Ephesians 2:5, it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." The word used for love is agape. Agape is the love that God has for us. The word agape is that deep, sensational, unbelievable, unconditional love for one another. And he says, "Husbands, I want you to love your wife unconditionally with the love that God extends to us. I want you to extend that to your wife unconditionally." But men full of pride and arrogance will say, "Oh, but she doesn't take care of me." But you're the leader. You need to change it around. Wives, you need to submit And husbands, you need to change the role of your pride and arrogance if you want your wife to change hers. Because here's what happens. Men want respect. Women want love. Well, the men don't get the respect they want, so he doesn't give the love, and she doesn't get the love, so she doesn't give the respect, and then he doesn't get the respect, he doesn't give the love, she doesn't get the love, she doesn't give the respect, and it's... That's what happens. Somebody tell me I'm wrong. You better not. I'll throw you down them steps. Okay, so, but that's what happens. Because we become so full of ourselves, we're not willing. And man, that we miss the love and respect thing, and then the role reverses, and then all of a sudden the wife is in charge and the man's not, because he doesn't want to fight, and the woman's tired of the man not loving her, and he's tired of her not respecting him. And next thing, man, we got a cat and a dog fight going on. And it just gets really ugly. Then the household gets ugly. Then the marriage suffers. Then the children suffer. Then the neighbor suffers. Then the family suffers. Not the immediate family in that house, but the family outside of that house. Because everybody's got to deal with you and your ungodliness. I know it doesn't set well, but it preaches good. I'm going to end right here. I'm going to end because I can't... I'm going to be done right here. Next week we'll pick up as the role of parents. But guys, listen to me. And you have to listen. Ladies, you've got to take care of your husbands. He needs your respect. Because believe it or not, ladies, your respect is what makes him the man. If my wife doesn't think much of me, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to be a miserable soul. If she doesn't think that I'm the man, and I don't mean that in an arrogant way, but what I'm saying, literally, my wife is the one that makes me feel like I am the king of the mountain. I don't have to be the king of your mountain, but boy, she makes me feel like I am the king of my mountain. And man, because of that, I love her so dearly, and I cherish her. Why? Because I need her to respect me. I need her to. Listen, it is built within me. God has made me that way. And I need my wife to respect me. I need her to. That completes me. Men, your wives need you to love them. Because that completes them. And if you don't love them, there's this massive void, this massive hole that'll never be filled by anything else. And here's what it's going to cause. And it's the same way that with the woman not respecting the man. It just leaves this massive hole. And here's what happens. You keep falling into the hole. Keep falling in the hole. Keep getting messed up. Keep getting dirty. Keep missing it. Why? Because you need to fill the hole up. For each other. You need to build the bridge over that hole so that you guys can come together as one and love one another. Here's what it looks like in God's eyes. You have the man over here. You have the woman over here. You have God up here. If you have the man here and the woman here and you have God here, and if the man desires to please God before anything else, and the woman desires to please God before anything else, and so they're aiming to please God, what's going to happen? They're going to grow closer together. It's inevitable. See, don't become what your wife wants you to become, and don't become what your husband wants you to become. Become what God wants you to become, and your marriage will be solid as a rock. Because you'll be on the same page. There'll be no guessing. If the marriage doesn't work, the family doesn't work. If the family doesn't work, the nation doesn't work. God's not glorified. Satan wins. Every time. I want everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and I'm not going to take but a minute. I'm going to have a man and a woman come forward. And if you are a man and you want to come up and you want to pray with a man, you have Tim up here, you can come up and pray with Tim. If you want to pray with Kathy, Kathy's up here. If you're a lady, you can come and pray with her. But listen, please listen. As husband and wife, whether your children's in the home or out of the home, it doesn't matter. As husband and wife, you are the rock in the community. You're the rock in the church. And you got to become what God wants you to be. If you're here tonight or today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's going to be a real struggle to do what God wants you to do. You're going to have a real struggle just swallowing what I said and accepting it. And so if Christ isn't your Savior, you're not going to believe the Word of God is truth because you really don't know God. And if you don't know God, heaven won't be your home. You say, well, then how do I fix that? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can change it today. Because if you don't change that, you won't change the way you act and you won't be able to go to heaven. It's how it works, guys, and it's the way God set it up. If you want to receive Christ as your Savior, quietly in your heart, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that I've made mistakes. I've recognized that I have removed myself from you because of my sin. And right now, I ask for forgiveness of what I've done wrong. Right now, I give my life to you. Jesus, come into my heart. Give me eternal life. If you meant that, the Bible says that you're saved. The Bible says that you will go to heaven when you die.